promise to you three, I will lift you up out of the water with Sam's help this morning. But what is this all about? Maybe you're here this morning a little bit cynical about Christian faith and you think, well, I've heard those stories, but you know, I'm not sure. Or maybe you've heard something in those stories this morning and you thought to yourself, do you know what? I want some of that. I want a little bit of that. I want to know about that kind of journey. Where does it come from? Where does it start? Well, I want to take you back for just a few minutes this morning to Acts chapter 2, to that reading which we had read for us. I'd love you to turn to it. If you can find a Bible nearby and just follow a little bit of this story with me. It's on page 1093 and you'll find it. And just want you to dip in and out of this really powerful sermon that Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost. I want you to take you back this morning to where it actually all began. To the place where this new community of God's people that we call church began. Church is not about buildings. Church is about people, just like you and me. And just 40 days after the death and resurrection of Jesus, this dramatic account that we've just dipped into this morning really happened. And this community of faith that we call church has grown and grown and grown and grown. And there are billions of people across our world today who are part of this new community of faith that comes about through faith in Jesus Christ. It all begins here in Acts chapter 2. I'd love you to have it open in front of you. Just follow some of the things that happen in this passage and just see what God is saying to us this morning. It's what we call the day of Pentecost. It's the day on which the church began. It's the birthday of the church, if you like. The start of a community like no other. A real, vibrant, honest community where you can be loved. Where you can feel like you belong. Where we know that we are needed and loved and wanted and included. How does that come about? Where does that start? What do we need to do to be part of that? Well, let me show you. As a follower of Jesus called Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost, Peter was just an ordinary guy like you and me. Peter knew all about failure. In fact, on one day, he had actually let Jesus down. He was put on the spot and said, do you know Jesus? He'd been walking with Jesus for 3 years, and he said, you know what? I've never seen this man in my life before. That's how much Peter failed Jesus. And yet Jesus forgave him and restored him and drew him back. Peter was a fisherman by background. And yet here is Peter, filled with the Spirit of God, standing up on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, and he cannot contain himself. It is all about Jesus. And that's what I want you to see this morning, that these baptisms, these stories of faith that you've heard this morning, these stories of intimacy with God, is all about Jesus. If you hear nothing else this morning, it's all about Jesus. My friends, there is something really powerful that happens when truth is revealed. There's something that strikes us. We know truth when we hear it. And Peter stands in front of this crowd of people. Some of them are cynical. Some of them are scoffing. Some of them want to know more. And there are thousands of people there on the day of Pentecost. And Peter stands up, this fisherman, this failure, this guy who's been restored by Jesus, and says, I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you what he's done in my life. He was here this morning, be standing up with those who are being baptized and say, let me tell you my story. And here it is in Acts chapter 2. Three things I want you to see this morning in this passage. Here's the first thing that we notice, that Peter stands up and just says, I want you to tell you who Jesus is. He says, I want to tell you the true identity of Jesus. Look at verse 22 if you've got a Bible open in front of you, and you'll see that it begins with an invitation. He says, listen, I want you to listen really carefully to what I'm about to tell you about Jesus. I want to encourage you to do the same this morning. Listen carefully to what Peter says about the truth of Jesus' identity. You see, for many people today, Jesus is a great moral teacher. He is somebody who leads by example. And for some people, that's all he is. He's just a great moral teacher, someone that we look up to and aspire to. But for Peter, one of the disciples who lived alongside Jesus for 3 full years, who has seen the death and the resurrection of Jesus by his own eyes, is now saying something really important about Jesus. And later on in the New Testament, one of the other disciples called John starts his account of Jesus like this. He says, we want to commend to you the Jesus that we saw with our own eyes and that we touched with our hands and that we heard with our own ears. My friends, this is real stuff. I'm sure, like many of you, you've probably had the experiences of mistaken identities. So somebody's come up to you sometimes and mistaken you for somebody else. Sometimes it's a bit funny, sometimes it's quite embarrassing. I think I might have told some of you this story before, but forgive me if I have, but one of my most embarrassing mistaken identity stories was when I took one of my teenagers into a supermarket with me, and she didn't want to come around the supermarket, but she wanted to go to the book aisle. She wore this lovely purple coat with a lovely fur-lined hood, and she went to the book aisle, and I went to my stuff in the supermarket, and then I came to find her. Walked into the book aisle, purple coat, fur hood, teenager, ran down the aisle, just about to put my hands around this other person's child. Another teenager. Thankfully, I didn't quite do it. So I didn't have to explain the embarrassment of it, but one of my daughters was not impressed with the story, as you could imagine. Dad, how could you possibly do something like that? So stupid. You know, when it comes to the identity of Jesus, nothing could be more serious. What Peter's saying to us here about Jesus is something that we really need to take to heart. You see, just a few short verses, Peter unpacks for us who Jesus is. And if you've got a Bible in front of you, just follow it with me. Because first of all, he says in verse 16, he says, I want you to know that Jesus fulfills all of God's promises. Right the way through thousands of years of history in the Old Testament before Jesus was born, promise after promise after promise after promise is fulfilled by Jesus. It's all part of God's big plan. Jesus didn't arrive by accident. He is the fulfillment of God's promises. In verse 22, Peter says, I want you to know this is a real man. This is a man, a real human being that walked this earth. Jesus knows what it's like to walk this earth. He knows what it's like to consider all the twists and turns of life, the ups, the downs, some of the things that you've heard and some of the stories that people have shared with us this morning. He knows because he's a human being. And Peter saves the best for last, because in verse 36, if you just drop down a little bit further, you'll see that Peter wants us to know that actually this isn't just an ordinary man. This is God himself who stepped into the history of our world. Peter wants us to grasp the truth of who Jesus really is. He is not just a miracle worker. He's not just a great moral teacher. This is God himself who comes to people like you and me, who steps into his own story, born as a tiny human being as we've just celebrated, who comes as one of us, and who is at the same time described as the exact representation of God. That's the truth that Peter declares about Jesus. That's the choice that you and I are confronted with when we see who Jesus really is. C.S. Lewis, who many of you probably be quite familiar with some of his writings, his book, Mere Christianity, says, you know, when we're confronted with the identity of Jesus, we have to make a choice. He puts it like this in his own inimitable style. He says, I am trying here to prevent anybody really saying the foolish thing that people often say about Jesus, that I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. He goes on to write, this is the one thing that we must not say. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he is a madman or something worse. And he goes on to say this, you can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him, you can kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and you can call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. And he did not intend to. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and says, this Jesus, whom I've walked with, whom I've seen, whom I've heard, who's restored me, who's forgiven me, has given me another chapter in life and another chance, another opportunity, this Jesus is none other than God himself who stepped into the history of our world. That's the truth about Jesus' identity. And then as his sermon develops, he goes on to talk about the truth regarding Jesus' purpose. Why did he come? What was it all about? Well, look at verse 23, and you'll see that Peter answers that question really clearly, because he makes it absolutely clear to us that Jesus' arrival, Jesus' death, Jesus' birth, was not an accident. It's not even a coincidence. Verse 23 says to us this, by God's deliberate plan, Jesus was crucified. It happened because this was part of God's plan for people like you and me. The truth, that is the truth about why Jesus came. A little bit later in the New Testament, we begin to see some of the motivation behind that. We begin to discover that this happens because God loves us. God loves us more than you and I will ever fully grasp in our human experiences. A lovely verse in the New Testament that says this to us. It says that Jesus died as a demonstration of God's love for us. While we were still sinful people, Christ died for us. Why? Because God loves us. God loves you. All the way through the Old Testament, there was a very complicated sacrificial system. If you wanted to come before a holy God as a sinful person, you had to sacrifice an animal. And you had to keep on sacrificing an animal. And an animal had to keep on dying and keep on being sacrificed. But here, Peter wants us to see that in Jesus, a new kind of permanent sin sacrifice has taken place, and at the same time that it is our sin that has put him there. In a prophetic passage, 600 years before Jesus was born, we read words about our own human hearts. I want to just this resonate with us this morning. We're like sheep who've gone astray. We've wandered our own way. And God has laid on him, on Jesus, our sins, our mistakes, our failures, our mess. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came. And through faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus says to us, you can now come through my death, through my sacrifice, and you, wait for it, you can call God your Father. You can call God your Abba. That is the deepest, intimate, personal relationship that you can have. And through Jesus, you can have that with the living God. Wow. And what Peter's saying here on the day of Pentecost is this, he says, it has happened. It has happened in your hearing. This Jesus who was crucified, it happened because that's what God planned, because God loves you and God wants you back. He goes on to say in this verse 24 that Jesus has risen from the dead. That death is not the end of the story for people who believe in Jesus Christ. Death has been defeated. It is no more that great enemy. And then he goes on to say in verse 33 that actually this is the risen Jesus. He reigns today. He rules today. And God has promised that one day Jesus will return and he is going to make everything new. Wow. And then Peter comes to the most exciting part of this great public speech by showing us that you and I can encounter this Jesus today by faith. Through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can encounter Jesus today, right here, right now, right where you're sitting. Because the Spirit of God has been poured out on us. And the Spirit of God makes Jesus real to us. That's why Leah and Jen and Eric could stand here and tell you that story, because the Holy Spirit has shown them who Jesus really is. He has shown them why Jesus came. He has brought them to that place where they can call God Father and Abba, our Daddy God. The deepest intimate relationship that you could ever have with the living God who made us. It may well be as you sit here this morning that you sense a little niggle, a prompting, a flutter in your heart. You've heard something this morning and it's registered with you. You heard the stories being told here and something moved within you. My friends, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Welcome him. Maybe as you hear something about Jesus this morning and the purpose behind him coming to us and who he really is and somehow or other this morning you're beginning to see something you didn't quite see before. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who does that. I can't convince you. Jen can't convince you. Leah can't convince you. Eric can't convince you. The Holy Spirit of God does the convincing. Maybe you've never quite seen yourself in the way that Isaiah described us, that prophetic passage, as somebody who's just wandering around, lost. You hear those verses this morning, you think, actually, that does describe me. That's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. It's not me. Maybe you haven't really ever quite heard it this way before, that Jesus loves you so much that he came to die for you. For you, personally. That's the Holy Spirit of God that convicts us of that. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost, on the day that God's new community was born. In the midst of that confusion and chaos and cynicism and questions and doubts and curiosity, Peter stands up and says, "Let me tell you about Jesus. This is the one who's changed my life. This is the person who's turned me around. This is the one who's forgiven me. This is the one who's given me an intimate relationship with the living God. Let me tell you about Jesus." And you know what? Something incredible happened. Something incredible happened. Verse 37, if you have a Bible open in front of you, when the people began to hear these words of truth about Jesus, they were cut to the heart. It says they were crushed in spirit. They were deeply, deeply convicted because they began to see for the first time that it was their sin to put Jesus on the cross. So, have you ever seen it like that before? That's why Jesus died. You see, when the Holy Spirit begins to move, he begins to convict us. He begins to help us to see things as they really are. We see Jesus as he really is. We see ourselves as we really are. And when the people heard this and began to understand that, Luke is writing this account, says they were cut to the heart, they were crushed when they realized that actually they were responsible for crucifying Jesus. And of course they ask this great question, don't they? What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do? And Peter, in the final part of this sermon, unpacks for us the truth about ourselves. And Peter's reply is very clear. Look at verse 38, and you've heard it read a little bit earlier in our service. Peter says to this huge crowd, speaking from the depth of his own heart, he says, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now he says something even more remarkable. He says, this promise of forgiveness, this promise of God's Spirit, is for all who will believe. This is part of God's plan. This is part of God's purpose from the beginning of time. That's why it's called the promise. It is for all who will believe. No one can be excluded. It comes to Jesus by faith. You may feel excluded this morning. You may feel on the edges. You may feel like you don't belong. You may feel like you don't fit in. You may feel like you're not good enough. But this promise is for all who will believe. There are no exceptions. It doesn't matter how far you've wandered from God. It doesn't matter what terrible things you may have done in your life. Forgiveness is open and free for all who will believe and return to the living God. There are no exceptions. God will not turn you away. It is a promise. It is an open invitation to join God's new community. A community where we truly begin to experience that sense of being loved and wanted and needed. And in verse 40, it goes on to say that Peter was so gripped by God's Holy Spirit, so overwhelmed by the reality of who Jesus is, he says that he pleaded with them and he warned them. And he said, you need to come and believe in Jesus. It quite literally says in verse 40, be rescued from the wayward and perverse culture of this world. We live in a culture that tells us that we can save ourselves. We live in a culture that tells us that we don't need God. But this Pentecost sermon makes it absolutely clear, doesn't it? We need God. We need a Savior. We cannot rescue ourselves. Peter exposes the one big question about that human beings have asked since the start of time. What is it all about? What is life all about? And those of you who know me well will know that I often use this wonderful character called Augustine as a wonderful illustration of somebody who realizes that actually this meaning and purpose, this search in our lives, is all about finding a relationship with a living God. It's the only thing that makes sense. Eric, it was lovely to hear you saying literally these words in a different way this morning about being satisfied with what you have because you've found God. Here's a man who wrote these words about 1,800 years previous to you, Eric. Okay? Because God has made us for himself. Our hearts are always going to be restless until they find their rest in God. That's what Peter's unpacking here. And so he ends by pleading and warning this huge crowd, and thousands of people respond to this story and message about Jesus. It's overwhelming, isn't it? What does Peter say in verse 41? He says, those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to the church that day. Wow, that was some baptismal service, wasn't it? I think this service is a bit long this morning. Try a 3,000 baptismal service, okay? I've done 150 in Nepal, in a river. That's taken quite a time. But my friends, here's what happens when God's at work. Tom Wright, one of the commentators on this passage, puts it in a really helpful way for us. He says, join this new community. Allow the death and resurrection of Jesus to become the badge you wear and the sign of your new identity, where baptism becomes an outward sign of belonging to God's new community. That's what this service is all about. That's what these people are going to do in a couple of minutes. They have recognized the truth of who Jesus is. They've recognized the truth of why Jesus came. Baptism becomes a powerful visual symbol of identifying ourselves with the death and resurrection of Jesus. We go into the water, and I promise you will come up out of the water. And as Eric and Leah and Jen are baptized in a few minutes, they are identifying themselves with Jesus, who started his public ministry by being baptized. I cannot think of a better way to begin a new chapter for those of you who have been baptized this morning. And this powerful Holy Spirit-inspired speech from Peter takes us back to the day when it all began. It reminds us the truth about Jesus' identity. He is both God and human. He bridges the gap between us and our holy God. The truth about why he came was because God loves you and because Jesus died for you. That's the truth about why Jesus came. And Peter, with the help of the Holy Spirit, uncovers for us this morning the truth about ourselves, that we need a Savior who will save us from ourselves. Have you heard God speaking to you this morning? Because if you have, it's the person of the Holy Spirit speaking to you in your heart. I don't know what God's saying to you this morning. Here's what I sense God is saying to some of us this morning. He's saying to some of us this morning, you know what? It's time to be baptized. It is time. May not be right here, right now, but we've got another one coming, and God's saying it's time to do this. You heard Jen's story, didn't you? Jen wasn't prepared to be baptized until about a week ago. That's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to us. As God said to some of us this morning, it's time to be baptized. It's time to come and identify with Jesus. If it was good enough for Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, surely it's got to be good enough for us. Maybe you want to find out a bit more about the Christian faith. Sarah and a few others in our church have started this wonderful book club, which we're looking at some of the books of the Bible, and it's a great way to find out more about the Christian faith. It's called Uncovered. Come and find Sarah at the end of our service. And maybe for some of you, just want to know more about Jesus. Well, there's some lovely little booklets, little red booklets entitled Why Jesus, which are at the foot of the lectern. There's some in the foyer. Take one as you leave this morning, as you come out for coffee, and find out a bit more about what it is that brings people to this point in their journeys. So we're coming to baptism. We're coming to the high point of our service, where we celebrate with those who are about to be baptized. I'm going to pray, and Chris is going to come and lead us in another song, and then we're going to do our baptism. So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, our Abba, thank you that through Jesus Christ we can call you our Father. Thank you that through the finished work of Jesus Christ we can know you, that we can experience an intimate relationship with the living God who has made us. And we pray for those who are going to be baptized in a few minutes. Lord, we pray that you will bless them really good as they take this public stand, this public commitment, as they enter a new chapter of their journey with you. Bless them, we pray. And if we've heard you speaking to us this morning by your Holy Spirit, help us to respond to what we've heard. Help us to be like those people on the day of Pentecost who heard you speaking and did something about it. May we not walk away from hearing you speak to us today without making our own personal response to the God who loves us, to the God who comes to us, to the God who longs to welcome us home. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.